Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the Global Health Forum on Blog Talk Radio. This show is a public service of People to People, a not-for-profit 501c3 registered Ethiopian diaspora healthcare organization. I am your host, Dr. Kintai Woreta. Tonight, we are honored to have Dr. Wandu Alamayo as our distinguished guest. Dr. Wandu is one of the world's experts on eye diseases and blindness in Ethiopia. He obtained his MD degree and completed his ophthalmology residency at Addis Ababa University. He completed his master's in public health and fellowship in preventive ophthalmology at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine and School of Hygiene and Public Health. Dr. Wandu has been and is a renowned leader in the efforts to eradicate trachoma in Ethiopia. Trachoma is an eye disease caused by a bacterial infection that can lead to blindness if untreated. Ethiopia has one of the highest burdens of trachoma in the world. Dr. Wandu has published dozens of peer-reviewed articles on trachoma. In addition, he played a major role in the establishment of the first eye bank in Ethiopia to address the problem of corneal blindness, which is one of the leading causes of avoidable blindness. Dr. Wandu was awarded the International Coalition for Trachoma Control McAllen Medal in 2014. He was recognized for his tireless work in Ethiopia to map trachoma and implement trachoma elimination programs on a large-scale basis throughout the country. Dr. Wandu currently serves as a consultant medical specialist and also a technical advisor to the Fred Hollows Foundation, which is a nonprofit development organization based in Australia focused on treating and preventing blindness worldwide. So thank you, Dr. Wandu, for joining us tonight, and we're very excited to have you as our guest.
You are welcome, Dr. Tensai, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Okay, so to start, Dr. Wandu, can you give us a little background about what trachoma is and the burden of the disease in Ethiopia?
Yeah, as you already mentioned, trachoma is the leading infectious cause of blindness, and it's preventable and curable. It is a huge problem worldwide, particularly in countries like Ethiopia. We have a huge burden of the problem in Ethiopia, and we've done a survey recently, thanks to the support that we got from the Department for International Development of the UK. As part of the Global Trachoma Mapping Project, we did a survey, and these surveys showed that we have a huge burden of active trachoma and potentially blinding trachoma in Ethiopia. Of the 835 districts, we call them woredas, over 600 of them have a huge public health problem of active trachoma, and as I said, also potentially blinding trachoma known as trachomatous trachiasis.
Mm-hmm. I see. And can you explain a little bit about how trachoma actually leads to blindness?
Trachoma is a disease of children and mothers mainly. The children are the reservoirs of the active infection. We call it follicular trachoma. That's where the infection is. And the infection is transmitted from one person to the other. And because the mother has the caretaker role, the infection is transmitted to the mother. And mothers get the repeated infection from their own children. And it is transmitted through flies, through fingers, dirty clothing. And when people get the repeated infection, the inner lining of the eyelid or the outer lining of the white of the eye gets affected, and the inner lining of the eye, known as the eyelids, known as the conjunctiva, gets scarred, and the lashes and the lid margin become interned, and so the lashes start to scratch the clear part of the eye, known as the cornea or blaine in Amharic, and it gets ulcerated, it gets scarred, and leads to blindness and visual impairment, which is very painful. And so that's how trachoma results in blinding, blindness and visual impairment.
Okay, thank you. And then how is trachoma treated?
Trachoma, if you catch it very early, it's very, in most of the cases, it's symptomless. And can be treated with antibiotics like tetracycline, azithromycin, or and it can be cleared with treatment if you catch it early. Then, if you don't catch it early and it goes to the blinding, to the stage of blinding complication known as the trochasis, interning of the lashes and lid margins, then it has to be treated with surgery. To correct the interning of the eyelashes so that the cornea is not scratched, ulcerated, or scarred to give rise to visual impairment and blindness. So there is a surgical component, an antibiotic treatment, and the most important is, rather than the treatment, the prevention aspect.
I see. And can you tell us a little bit about how it can be prevented?
Yes, the treatment partly contributes to the prevention also. So when you treat the infection and treat the whole community, now luckily we have a new antibiotic known as azithromycin or Zithromax. We used to administer tetracycline eye ointment twice a day for 6 weeks, and compliance was extremely poor. But now with this orally administered, or either in tablets or capsules or in suspensions for children, it can be administered once a year to whole communities, and treatment and infection will be cut down. So that will stop the transmission of the disease from one person to the other. And then when you have reached that level of potentially blinding complication of trachoma, then the surgery would be done. But to prevent visual impairment and blindness, you need to do surgery as early as possible. And to prevent getting the infection, you've cut down the active infection prevalence, and then what you need to do is really work on behavioral change aspect. People should, that is personal hygiene, washing the faces of children, faces of individuals, personal hygiene becomes extremely important. So water should be made available. And environmental improvement is the other component, which is which helps to cut the population, the fly population that transmits trachoma from one person to the other. And so defecation free villages should be open defecation free villages should be developed through sanitary facilities. So these known as the SAFE strategy, that is surgery, antibiotics, personal hygiene, environmental improvement, becomes the are the components of the WHO recommended SAFE strategy that would include prevention and treatment of trachoma.
Wonderful, thank you. And do you see a lot of advanced cases? You mentioned trochiasis, where the inward turning of the lashes leads to the blindness. Do you see a lot of that in Ethiopia that's not caught early?
Oh, unfortunately, yes. The recent global trachoma mapping project that we developed and implemented in Ethiopia has demonstrated that we have about close to 800,000 people that have these potentially blinding complications of trachoma. Unfortunately, 70-80% of these people are mothers, women, because they get this repeated infection that leads them to scarring and inward deviation of the lid margin and the lashes.
Wow, okay, so that's quite a large burden. And is the azithromycin you mentioned, is that an inexpensive treatment that it seems, is it accessible in Ethiopia?
It is fairly expensive, but thank you to Pfizer's donation, which is being managed by the International Trachoma Initiative. So as long as we demonstrate success, Pfizer is donating the antibiotic. But if you want to buy the antibiotic, yes, it is very expensive, but it's being donated to countries where trachoma is a problem.
I see. Okay, great. And then I was wondering, out of curiosity, how did you first become interested in ophthalmology and specifically with trachoma?
Interesting question. In Ethiopia, once you graduate as a general practitioner, in those days we had to serve for about 4 years, and the common problem I used to encounter working in Harar, working in Nazareth, was eye problems. And we had an attachment as undergraduate years of 3 weeks of attachment, but it didn't really equip us with all the necessary skills to tackle eye problems. So, and then there was this opportunity for graduate education, and I think that influenced my decision to go into ophthalmology.
Interesting. Okay, thank you. And so are there any particular parts of Ethiopia that have a higher prevalence, or do you see it kind of throughout the entire country?
This recent survey demonstrated that the Oromia region, the southern region, Tigray, have a huge problem. And Amhara region, in a survey that was already done, has really leads the prevalence of blindness with a huge burden in Ethiopia. So these four regions have a higher prevalence. Other regions do have problems, but not as high as in these four regions.
I see. Okay. And you discussed about the mapping. Can you describe exactly what the project was and what that entailed?
Interestingly, this mapping used modern technology. So we were not using paper forms. We used smartphones to collect the data. So we knew where people were exactly when they did the survey, and so the quality of the data that was collected was much better. And the GPS would allow you to follow, monitor, evaluate the work being done. And so it was an excellent survey that used modern-day technology. The chief scientist who now has joined the WHO is Dr. Anthony Solomon. But we refined the survey methodology and started it in one of the regions of Ethiopia, Oromia, because we have a huge prevalence. So it was easy to train graders and recorders in these areas. So it was a good quality survey that was done. And I think now Ethiopia has the evidence base required for interventions.
I see. So was the survey carried out for how many years was the survey carried out?
We completed last year, but most of the work was done between 2012-2013.
Okay.
Some of the districts we had to redo the extremely low prevalence areas. As per the WHO definition, if it is less than 5% of active trachoma in children 1 to 9, then we surveyed those areas. But it was really determined to be true. Yes, there are certain districts in Ethiopia that have extremely low trachoma, but all the same, we have many, over 600 districts that have over 10% of active trachoma in children 1 to 9, as I mentioned earlier.
Wow, so the very recent data that shows it's still a big problem. Over time, in your work over the years, have you seen a change in terms of decreasing incidence, or does it still seem to be on the rise?
Well, I think over time there is a decrease, definitely, and our efforts, particularly, as I mentioned earlier, you know, when once we started to use systemic antibiotic rather than a topical antibiotic that has to be administered twice a day for 6 weeks, in which compliance is, as you can imagine, extremely poor. So the use of the antibiotic is much easier, and it's being administered once a year, whole community treatment, that is easier. And then the surgery is being refined as we go along. Now we have a mannequin that has been developed by researchers at Wake Health University. We're using that to train surgeons to reduce the recurrence after surgery. We now have a better methodology of implementing the personal hygiene and the environmental components of the SAFE strategy. So we're seeing better and better improvement. The other positive development is the fact that the Ministry of Health is also giving it more attention, and the attention it really deserves, this problem. So that our effort now is becoming more productive.
Wonderful. And can you summarize, I know you've done a lot of work over the years in your effort to eradicate trachoma, and can you discuss any specific interventions that you've worked on in Ethiopia?
The surgical aspect has been a challenge, one with the surgical uptake, the other one is to do good quality surgery and reduce recurrence. Varies, you know, if you look at it across Africa, East Africa, West Africa, recurrence can go as high as 40-60% at 1 year. So we have to, one is to provide the surgery. We have limited human resource. Now the number of ophthalmologists was in the 40s when we started. Now it has gone up to 130. Even with this number, we cannot cover, address the huge problem. So we had to train lower level professionals, nurses, to do the surgery. And so we had to come up with research comparing of the surgery as done by ophthalmologists compared to that of nurses. We've done this research we called the STAR trial, and before the STAR trial, actually, we compared these two groups of professionals and found out that it is comparable, the surgical outcome at 1 year. Then we did the study that we did and called the STAR trial. That is, would administering azithromycin improve the recurrence? We found out that it would result in 30% less recurrence when used azithromycin. So yeah. Some of these relevant studies were done in Ethiopia. This and many other studies we've done researched on antibiotic administration. Also, is one annual administration enough? For how long do you need to do it, and so on. So this research, related research, have been done, and it has helped the implementation of the SAFE strategy.
I see. So it seems that because in Ethiopia, I think there's a pretty significant shortage of ophthalmologists. So it seems that by training the nurses and population.
That's true. That's the idea, and reach the population and. You know, referring them to centers, hospitals, is just no use. So you have to go down to the villages or health facilities that are very close to the community and deliver the service. So that really helps in making it accessible and affordable, yes.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. So, and you said recurrence is one of the people can get reinfected after the surgery, and that's what causes the high rates of recurrence and blindness after the surgery.
That is one possibility, and again, it requires lots of research in that area. That is one possibility, but the major problem is really the quality of surgery. Ensuring quality of surgery. Ensuring good and doing a good quality training. That is extremely important. So with good quality surgery, we've been able to demonstrate that the recurrence rate can be brought down less than 10%.
I see. So it has more to do with the quality, I see. Okay.
Yes, more to do with the quality, yes.
I see. Are there any other cases where there's irreversible blindness or surgery is too late?
Yeah, you know, with the limited number of ophthalmologists, limited number of eye health infrastructure, even with cataracts, you know, we have a huge backlog.
Okay.
So glaucoma is the same thing. So early diagnosis and treatment is extremely important, and we are not able to do that. So we need to improve on that, definitely. And so for cataracts, again, the other solution we have introduced is to train cataract surgeons.
Mm-hmm.
This would be nurses, ophthalmic nurses, that would be trained in cataract surgery specifically, and to increase the surgical rate in cataracts and also use mid-level eye care professionals to clear the backlog. So the curable cataract can also give rise to irreversible blindness.
Yeah. Okay, so, and you mentioned the involvement of the World Health Organization. It seems like they've really made it a priority, and I know they've set the goal to eliminate blinding trachoma by 2020, and I just wanted to ask you what your perspective was that do you think this goal will be achieved?
It's an ambitious goal, but I think we have put this target, and if we give the priority this problem deserves, put together our efforts, and I think we can make it. But of course, there are lots of challenges with personal, you know, behavioral changes, personal hygiene, environmental improvement. And so on. There are lots of challenges making water available. There are huge challenges, but with the current global, local focus that this problem is getting, I think we can achieve this ultimate goal of elimination of blinding trachoma.
And can you tell us a little bit about the challenges that you've encountered over the years? I know I know you mentioned several of them. If there's any others that the challenges that you faced in your work over the years.
Yes, one huge challenge is the advocacy bit. The priority, the condition, the problem should get is not as much as we would like it to be. So we need to work in that area. With human resources, again, there is a need to develop the human resource situation. And the infrastructure is another huge problem. But with the community involvement and the influence of the health facility development, I think we should be able to reach our ultimate target.
Okay. And I was wondering, because I think here in the U.S., probably many people have not heard of trachoma because we don't see it very frequently. Do you think in developing countries like Ethiopia, is there an awareness of the problem so that people are aware of it, of the condition, and that they need to seek treatment early?
That has improved over the years, the community awareness. Now, as part of the SAFE strategy, one of the major activities is really to raise community awareness, improve the community awareness, give health education. And one major activity that we are involved in is work with teachers, work with students. The best way to go into the hearts and minds of families is their children and their teachers, school teachers. So we've been trying that approach. With all that, hopefully over time, and then the involvement of the media, the involvement of the health facilities, or the existing health facilities of the government, and also the support of development partners over the years, I think there is a better level of awareness. Yes, with awareness also comes surgical uptake. So if we give a good quality training, good quality surgical services, the surgical uptake will also improve, and people will come for treatment early in the process of the disease before the cornea or the clear part of the eye is affected permanently, giving you irreversible blindness.
I see. Okay, thank you. And I know you're a cornea specialist. And how many cornea specialists are there in Ethiopia currently?
The number of cornea specialists has improved a lot. I think it has now reached on 10. It's only in the last few years we've been working in that area. So I think we've made good progress.
I see. Now, when the training of the nurses occur, is that something that ophthalmologist, is that they're trained by ophthalmologists?
Yes, we're involving ophthalmologists. We're also involving higher mid-level eye care professionals, so ophthalmic nurses, to the highly selected trainers. To do that training.
Okay. Do you have an estimate of the number of ophthalmic nurses there are that are doing the surgery?
We have now become over 200 ophthalmic nurses. The integrated eye care workers, we call them, they are the nurses who have not been trained as ophthalmic professionals, but have had primary level training in ophthalmology, and those are really over 600 at the moment. But they would definitely need refresher trainings and monitoring, supportive supervision as we go along. But they are doing quite a lot of work, but we need to refine improve on the quality of the services being rendered.
I see. And this model, is this being used in other developing countries with high prevalence? This model of training these ophthalmic nurses, integrated eye care workers, do you think that's also in other countries in the developing world where trachoma is prevalent?
Yes, I think that it is being used. Yes, Tanzania, Kenya, I think they are in West Africa also. I think this task shifting is being practiced. But, you know, I think with the number of trachoma cases that we have, the opportunities for skills development is much better in a country like Ethiopia. Because if you do the surgery once a month or twice a month, then the skill development is also affected. So I think we have good trachoma surgeons in Ethiopia.
Okay, that's wonderful. Okay, so we've reached the halfway mark of our show, so I would invite any callers listening in. Please call in. The number to call in is 646-595-4742. You can call in and please ask any questions that you have. And just to remind you, you are listening to the Global Health Forum brought to you by People to People. Today we are honored to have ophthalmologist and world expert on trachoma, Dr. Wundu Adamayo, as our guest. Okay, so we'll see if we have any callers, and I'll just keep asking questions until we have some callers. So, Dr. Wundu, can you tell us what the most rewarding aspect of your work is?
The most rewarding aspect, you know, last week I was in a rural district in Oromia, and there was a mother of a 35-year-old mother who has 7 children, and she had bilateral severe entropion trachoma. And we examined her, and we did the surgery was done by one of these trained integrated eye care workers, a nurse trained. And the surgical outcome was excellent, immediate surgical outcome. The relief that she had from the pain, the discomfort, it really goes right into your heart and your mind. I think that's what gives us the passion and the energy to continue. So that is what I saw last week. You know, there are lots of problems, lots of challenges, but one result like this keeps you going.
Wow. So in addition to, relieving the blindness, and also the people get relief from the pain, from the inward turning of the lashes.
It was really highly gratifying. You know, imagine this mother working in a very confined room, very smoky, cooking for her kids, making the injera, and breastfeeding a 6-month-old child. I mean, it's just words cannot describe the discomfort that these mothers are having. So really putting an end to that discomfort. Unfortunately, trachoma affects the mother. The mother is the pillar of families, particularly in rural households. And that's what you're contributing to, and all organizations. Now the Oromia program is being supported by the Fred Hollows Foundation. They're trying to expand and cover the whole of Oromia, you know, a region that has 34 million population with a huge problem of trachoma. And other partners are putting efforts in making you know, lasting change in these areas. So it's really highly gratifying.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for describing that touching story. So and we have one caller from 571258. Caller can ask the question.
Yeah, thank you for this interesting discussion, and thank you, Dr. Wundu, for your years of service to our nation and your tireless effort and leadership in treating and preventing trachoma. But I'm trying to understand, though, why Ethiopia continues to bear the highest burden of trachoma in the world, despite significant strides in all healthcare indices and being one of the few countries poised to meet most of the Millennium Development Goals. I saw that countries like Gambia and Ghana had already achieved the WHO intervention target of less than one case of trichiasis per 1,000 and prevalence of trachoma in children from 1 to 9 years old, as you mentioned, of less than 5%. So what are they doing right, and what can we learn from them?
I think, thank you very much. It's a very good question. The Gambia, Morocco, Ghana, I see them really as encouraging developments. So really implementing the SAFE strategy definitely works, you know. So that's what we're trying to implement. But then Ethiopia has a population of now maybe between 90 to 100 million. So it's a number of countries put together. So it's the burden of the problem is big. So the effort being made definitely has to be expanded. And as I mentioned earlier, we have to give it a priority. And I see a very strong development in that also. Particularly recently, the Ministry of Health has come up with an initiative to clear the huge backlog of trichiasis in Ethiopia in 1.5 years. It's very ambitious, but when the Ministry of Health is in the driving seat, it takes the ownership, the same, you know, trickles down or cascades down to the regional health bureaus and the zones and the districts. So if it gets the priority it deserves, I think we can make it. 2020 is not an Ethiopian calendar, unfortunately. We have only 5 more years to go, but we need to work hard. If we really put together our hearts and minds and get the support locally as well as internationally, I think we can make it.
Excellent. Thank you. All right, thank you. Any other questions from a caller? I think we have another one from 410-961.
Hello?
Yes, yeah, we can hear you.
Yes, Dr. Wundu. So first I'd like to say congratulations for your outstanding achievements and your worldwide effort to eradicate trachoma. As an ophthalmologist in the U.S., I've been following your work very closely and just been astounded at your sentinel work, your clinical trials. You mentioned the Fred Hollows Foundation, and I was wondering if you could tell us about your international collaborations and what those of us abroad can do to help in the effort.
Yes, the Fred Hollows Foundation is based in Australia, and interestingly, Australia is the only developed country in the world that has trachoma. And they are clearing it up, making it a history. So they have this vested interest in the elimination of blinding trachoma in the world, and particularly in Ethiopia. That's why they have taken up the challenge to work in this big region of Ethiopia, Oromia region, as I mentioned, 34 million population, with a huge number of districts, many number of districts, over 200, that have huge trachoma, active trachoma prevalence, and potentially blinding trachoma, over 150,000 cases. So the Regional Health Bureau has been working with that has built partnership with the Fred Hollows Foundation and trying to expand the work of elimination of blinding trachoma in the whole of Oromia. And other partners have been working with the Fred Hollows, have decided to work with the Fred Hollows Foundation. Light for the World, Envision, RTI, USAID, and others are also supporting the WASH aspect, that is water sanitation aspect of the trachoma control. So I think a meaningful work will be done in the coming years and help in the achievement of the ultimate goal.
Excellent. And just a personal question too, Dr. Wendu, do you have a public health background as well in addition to your MD?
I beg your pardon?
You also have a public, like we talked about how you got interested in this field from the beginning, did you also do public health as well in terms of your degree? And how exactly did you become so successful in this field just as you're a mentor to us young ophthalmologists?
Yes, I completed my residency, there was this interest to do research. Even while I was a resident, I started doing research in central Ethiopia to look into the cause of blindness. That was the starting point to create interest in public health. We did the study where we found a huge trachoma problem. People had difficulty believing us. Now I think we have better level of studies, better quality studies that have confirmed that finding, the fact that trachoma is a huge problem. And so that early experience continued. And I came over to work with professionals at Johns Hopkins University, like Professor Sheila West, Professor Hugh Taylor, and so on. So, and the interest in trachoma also continued.
All right, thank you very much. Yeah, so it sounds like you've been having collaborations that have been fruitful for everyone. So. Great. And any other questions from the caller? Okay. So I'll move on to a couple of questions that I had. You mentioned briefly cataracts. Dr. Wendu, can you mention some other causes of preventable blindness in Ethiopia?
Yes. As in the rest of the world, the leading cause of blindness is cataract. And in our case, 50% of the cause of blindness is cataract. The same with visual impairment also. We have a huge backlog of cataracts, over half a million people that need surgery. That still remains to be a huge problem. Our cataract surgical rate is maybe at best around 600, which is extremely low. We need to increase it to maybe 2,000 or more, but the number of surgeries, the facilities, and the health professionals that do surgery is very limited. So we need to work in that area and change the situation. Glaucoma is another major problem. Even in the Western world, in the developed world, it's extremely difficult. So early diagnosis and treatment, again, it's quite a challenge with us. And that, you know, with the limited number of health professionals, that's understandable. And level of awareness, again, as you mentioned earlier, of the community should be improved to seek health care as early as possible. In childhood, blindness, refractive errors, again, extremely high problem in school children. About, you know, the 10 to 15% of school children have refractive errors, uncorrected refractive errors. And we have to, luckily now, we have in the last few years, 5 years or so, we have started to train optometrists in a number of schools in Ethiopia, and the number of optometrists has increased. But the services, the health infrastructure should also be improved for these professionals to practice and deliver services in the refractive error for people that have refractive errors. But these are major problems. Corneal opacity, we mentioned briefly. Again, corneal opacities, particularly in the young, is a major problem. The transplant services now definitely much better. Now we're doing transplant services in Addis Ababa, we're doing it in Gondar, doing it in Jimma, and in the southern region also. So our eye backing service should be improved. We're trying to do that in partnership with other donors also. These are the major areas of blindness.
I see. And you mentioned the eye banking, and you mentioned you mentioned to me while we were talking earlier that this is the only eye banking, the only eye bank in Africa.
There is an eye bank in South Africa. I don't know how much fully functional it is, but the one in Ethiopia, I think, is in sub-Saharan Africa. Even in the rest of Africa, the functioning eye bank. We are happy with that, and we're partnering with Sight Life, an organization that is working worldwide in the development of eye banks. And so we have been able to implement a fully functional eye bank. So the corneas would be made available to surgeons working in the public sector, now private public sector also, and hopefully it will also be made available to the private sector. We have not been distributing corneas internationally yet, but that might be needed for the sustainability of the eye banking services in the future.
And just for those of us who are not ophthalmologists, so when is the corneal transplant? When is that indicated?
For those who are not ophthalmologists or in eye healthcare, the clear part of the eye, the black of the eye, for those who speak Amharic, it's known as blain. Dyne blain, it's the most important part of the eye. It's the clear part of the eye that through which light goes into the eye. If it is not clear, then people get visual impairment or blindness. So if there is a scarring or the shape is not normal, then that has to be removed and replaced by a clear cornea that you get from a fresh dead body. So the eye bank collects the cornea and tests the quality of the cornea and preserves it and distributes it equitably to centers where transplantation is being done. And transplantation is done on these young people that have problems with the clear part of the eye to cure their blindness. And you get, in transplant surgery, the most effective one is corneal transplant surgery.
I see. So, for example, it's not, would trachoma be one of the indications if you had an advanced case where there was, you know, scarring of the cornea that could not be fixed with the trochiasis surgery? Would corneal transplant be the an option?
Not at present, but I had to give up. I think, you know, because there are blood vessels in the clear, growing into the clear part of the eye, transplants in advanced cases of trachoma blindness might not give a good result because it would be rejected and so the unsuccessful. So, but in the future, I think that's one area where we need to research and maybe use artificial corneas, but this is far-fetched. So I think as far as trachoma is concerned, the best approach should be to do an early diagnosis and prevent it. Treat infection, correct the internal lid margin and eyelashes, and prevent the corneal prevent corneal opacity. That should be the best approach at present. But in the future, for the ones that have now in Ethiopia, we have over 150,000 people that are visually impaired or blinded by the end-stage trachoma. So these are fairly young people. We shouldn't give up on them. We should continue to research, explore other possibilities of treatment, I think.
Okay, well, thank you for explaining that. You had mentioned the other causes of preventable blindness, like refractive errors and glaucoma and the problem of screening. I was wondering, are there any screening programs that are being implemented in Ethiopia? For example, you mentioned trachoma is common among children. So are there screening programs in schools or in other places where people are, you know, routinely screened to try to detect the disease early?
In as much as possible, with the implementation of the SAFE strategy, I'm referring to corneal, trachoma programs. Yes, in schools, that's what we're trying to do. Even at the community level, the screening that is done is mainly to identify patients with trochiasis, that is, patients that have interning of the eyelashes. Yes, screenings are being done. And now the Ministry of Education also has a school health policy developed. So as part of this school health, there is eye health, and one major component is really screening. It's not well developed, but now at least we have the policies in place, and so it's making it practical. And there are organizations that train teachers who would be able to make them, to enable them to identify students that have refractive errors. And refer them to centers where they can be treated. So there is a limited activity, but it has to be strengthened, encouraged, and scaled up.
I see. Okay. So do you see the efforts to make it more widespread being implemented in Ethiopia?
Yes, I think with this development of development of policies, like the school health policy, that should, you know, when implemented fully, would definitely increase the screening effort and also addressing the problem of refractive errors, particularly in students and out in the rural areas. With with the training of the health extension workers, involvement of the health extension workers who are working at primary level, training them in eye health, and also in screening for common eye problems. That definitely will help us improve the eye care services being delivered, and also contribute really tremendously in the preventive aspect, because 80 to 70% of our problems are preventable or curable. So I think a major focus should be given to that area.
Okay, that's wonderful. You've done tremendous work over the years, collaborating with academic institutions and with, non-profit organizations. And I was wondering, in the next, 5 to 10 years, what are your future goals, and what will be your focus in the upcoming years?
I think in the coming years, is to make the best use of the current opportunity. As I said, the major focus that we have now at the international level, the World Health Organization, DFID, other development organizations such as USAID, RTI, Envision, the Fred Hollows Foundation, and so on, realize the elimination of blinding trachoma in as much as possible. We have a very active National Trachoma Task Force that is being chaired by the Ministry of Health of Ethiopia, and the regional health bureaus have established their regional trachoma task force that should cascade down to zonal and district level. Give it the priority it deserves. So I think in the next 3 to 4 years, we need to maximize our efforts. We have developed the Trachoma Action Plan for Ethiopia. Should be implemented, and we should be able to tap the resources available internationally, not only financial, but technical support as well, and increase the number of professionals that work in the area, and try and achieve the ultimate goal.
Wonderful, thank you. And then my final question, I think we have a lot of members of P2P who are listening, so do you have any suggestions or advice on how our members, even non-medical, people not in ophthalmology, how they can contribute to efforts of blindness prevention in Ethiopia?
I think this was really an excellent opportunity to address this interested audience. And with advocacy, internationally they can advocate for the cause of the Ethiopian mothers and children and get support. Medical support, technical support, social, cultural. I mean, there are. This is really multifaceted area, multi-sectoral. People who are experts in health education, behavioral change experts, can contribute. And the other major area is water and sanitation. We need support, particularly in that area. Antibiotics, as I said, Pfizer has donated the antibiotics. We have made a good amount of improvement in the surgical aspect, but non-medical people can facilitate in the other areas, particularly water and sanitation. And research-interested people can help us do the research, or they can also come and do research. Trachoma has very interesting related unanswered questions, and they can we can work together in answering those. Definitely, resources are always limited, particularly financial resources, to ensure that all parts of Ethiopia are being covered by the implementation of the SAFE strategy, and audience can contribute in any way they think they can help.
Thank you very much, Dr. Wundu, for that wonderful summary.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
This was really just a very informative, fascinating discussion, and thank you for informing us about this very important problem that's affecting many people in the country. So thank you for your time. We know you're very busy, travel to Ethiopia frequently, so we thank you for spending the time to inform us of this important public health problem.
It has been a wonderful opportunity. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Dr. Wundu.
I think all of us, particularly Ethiopians and others that are supportive to getting rid of human tragedies, I think we should work together and make countries like Ethiopia free of a scourge such as trachoma. I think we should get rid of it.
And your work is just very, inspirational and informative on how, people can work and collaborate with others to bring about change. So thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for our guests for listening. We really appreciate you listening into this important discussion. As always, you can help shape our program by submitting your comments and suggestions through info@peoplepeople.org or P2P's Facebook page. And remember, if you are unable to tune in live, you can access the archive show using the link on the People website. Again, thank you, Dr. Wundu. Thank you to our guests for listening. And good night to all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Wundu. Good night.